Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. Well, I haven't been on the air much lately. I've been working 12-plus hour days at my day job, and that occasionally happens when we get a little bit backed up on shows. And it's very interesting doing a radio program because you send out a lot of requests for guests, and of course, not everyone responds, and then people respond and don't show, and looks like tonight our guest didn't make it for one reason or another, and I can't, in some sense, can't blame them, because they live in India, and there's a tremendous time difference, and they probably miscalculated the time and when they were supposed to call in, or anyway, I had sent a lot of guest requests out to completely new guests, and that's always also a little warning sign that you're going to have a lot of no-shows for one reason or another. So I am going to at least have some show, and I was going to start in Billy's wonderful introduction to the contact reports. It's called How It All Began, and I talk about this a whole lot for one reason or another. And I just thought I would just read some of it at the beginning of the show, and then we'll move on to some other ideas and concepts. This is everything of which I became aware of during this night as a little boy who was just 4 years old. Everything which exists in the whole universe is the manifestation of the might and the infinite and true love of the mighty universal consciousness, which is simply called creation. And today, with it, creation, everything that was created by it is creation. Everything exists in the whole universe. Everything which crawls and flies. However, true love, as well as the true love of creation itself, of which I became aware of, is a form of incomprehensibly radiating light of the Zohar, which permeates everything and allows all life and all existence to pulsate. Therefore, true love is light, which in turn perceives light and endlessly radiates further and never ends, but always keeps accumulating. And this love is also existent and recognizable in all matter, as well as in the human being in whom it is present, as a result of the creational spirit, in which he just has to let grow in him, internally and externally, whereby true love again reflects true love and creates harmony. True love is the reality and not, however, all the illusions and unreal dreams which the human being procures, which he can never realize, as they, exactly like smoke, only obscure his view and do not allow him to recognize what true love really is and what he himself is, in reality within the universal drive mechanism of creation. The exterior, the body of the human being, is namely impermanent and transient. However, the true love of creational nature, which is anchored in his true inner being, in the spirit, is the pure light of being and is imperishable. Already at the age of 4, this great recognition instantly changed my life. Because after I was familiarized with this insight, and understanding by means of the impulses from the storage banks, and also learned who I really was, what I had to learn and do in my life, and what my life task was, I looked at human beings, animals, and nature, as well as all existing things in a completely new way. And I suddenly felt a great astonishment within myself about it, which I now discovered. I suddenly saw myself in everything, in every fellow human being, in every flower or other plant, in every tree, in every shrub, in every animal, in snow, in water, in the earth, in the lightning and the thunder, in clouds and wind and in sunshine, because everything was and is connected in true creational love and forms a unity which can never be separated. Even life and death are woven into it and are inseparably intertwined with each other. And exactly as a result of this connection, which was instantly clear to me, everything is mixed and connected in infinitely various ways, through which innumerable manifestations of life and existences were created, exist, and continue to be created. If you haven't read this before, this is just a few paragraphs of an article called How It All Began, and it's the introduction to the Pleiaren and Contact Reports. It tells the story of Edward Albert Meyer when he was 4 years old, waking up on a warm night in May in Switzerland, when he was a very young boy and crawling out a lower window and looking up at a beautiful starry sky and sensing this radiating love he called the invisible love of creation, which he would write about very much more in his later life when he grew older and learned more about this term creation, which we've studied before and which has a great and interesting concept in it. The creation is identical to the universal consciousness. The universe is creation's internal and external body. The German word for creation is Schöpfung. Everything that exists in the whole universe is a manifestation of the might and the infinite and true love of the universal consciousness. Love is the highest principle in all creation, and through it, everything exists in absolute logic. Creation has an infinite and effective love. Effective love is true love. It's a love that never dies. It never changes. There's a romantic love called artificial love in the Meyer material. That's the kind of love that often turns to hatred and anger. But this highest form of love is radiated by creation. And the incredible splendor of nature that you see is the splendor of creation that's radiated outward. Creation in many ways is a little bit beyond the totality of comprehension for the human being. We will continue to learn about creation through all of our reincarnations, all the millions and millions of reincarnations. And finally, we will unite with the universal consciousness after the end of literally billions of years of the evolution of our consciousness. The universal intelligence has created certain creational natural laws. And I've just talked about love, which is the highest creational natural law. There's also the law of striving, which is the fundamental law of all evolution. Without striving, there is no life. If you're not striving, you won't be happy. It's imperative that everything that lives continues to strive, and Billy talks about this in great detail in his book called The Way to Live, Die Art zu Leben, So I'll read a little bit of this to you since I'm reading the Billy Meyer material this evening. So here we go. The creation itself, as well as all its creatures, and Wesenheiten, is imbued with the power of the striving. In order to attain success, the future progress, and that which is higher, striving is the power of the spiritual as well as the physical, and striving is an incontrovertible creational law. In order to reach through incessant evolution that which is higher and absolutely fully developed, the greatest power in every single Weizen is there to serve the striving. And truthfully, the striving is the great and enormous power itself. Striving is the Ur-law of all evolution and of all absolutely full development. And striving is the power of the life in the sense of progress. If the striving is absent in some life form, then the power of the progress extinguishes, and thereby the sense of life. If a human being loses his or her striving, then he or she always loses the sense of life. If the human being can no longer strive for anything at all, then in himself or herself, he or she feels with deadly might that he or she can no longer be of use to anything, and that as a human being, he or she has become impossible. And with Gewaltsamkeit, his or her own existence is forfeited. Striving is the actual nature of the human being. However, if this nature is nullified, then the human being feels that he or she does not have a place in the world anymore. Rather, he or she has to vanish from it. If the striving breaks down in the individual human being, then he or she becomes incapable of life, displeased with life, and suicidal. So your happiness depends on how intensely you cling to striving. And that means your work, that means your day job, that means your productive hobbies on the side, which have a way of kind of becoming sometimes a source of many good things in your life. So make sure you're always applying yourself towards something that's a good use of your time. It's really the key to being happy. It's really interesting that today so much is distractions, and so much takes away from our striving and puts us in a hypnotic state where we really don't learn anything. I mean, the primary purpose of our life is the evolution of our consciousness. I was talking at the beginning of the show about creation. Creation has the creation, you can think of our universe as the creation. Our creation has a consciousness. Our universe has a consciousness. The universe, according to Meyer information, is 46 trillion years old. It has been expanding for 46 trillion years, and it will expand up to 155.5 trillion years, and then it will start its contraction phase. While it's expanding, new spirit forms will be created. What is a spirit form? And we've talked about this many times. In the center of your middle brain is an area called the superior colliculus, and it controls your eyesight. It's engaged when you're moving your eyes from one item to another. That area of your brain is engaged. And in that area of your brain is a tiny spark of energy, for lack of a better word, no bigger than the head of a needle. And that bit of energy is your spiritual consciousness. And it's very interesting because it can never die. It does not sleep. It records everything that you do and you think. It will tell you if your thinking is right or wrong if you've learned to pay attention to it. It can never be harmed by anything in the material world. It is perfectly neutral positive. It adheres to what's called the law of harmony, which is the same neutral positive characteristic that the universal consciousness has. So the universal consciousness and the spirit form of the human being have a natural affinity. In fact, the Meyer material talks about the spirit form as being a fragment of the universal consciousness. And there's a controlling factor in this tiny spirit form called the Gemut, which controls this thoughts and the feelings of the spirit form. The spirit form at our current level of evolution is primarily concerned with recording the events in your current life. It also impulses your material consciousness. It doesn't get involved in decision making. It's not creative in any way. It has a partial consciousness to it. It's not completely conscious at this stage. That's why you need a material consciousness. That's why you need physical body. And that's why you need the life and death cycle. It goes on so the spirit form can evolve. The whole purpose of life is the evolution of our consciousness. Now, this creation that I talked about is the most immense mass of spiritual energy in the universe. It is spirit in its purest form. It's immeasurable in wisdom. And there's something called the creation spirit energy, the creational spirit energy. Schöpferisch Geist in Energie is interweaving. This creational energy is interweaving throughout the universe. The entire universal consciousness is laced with this energy. And it's an intelligence of its very own, but not an intelligence likened to that found in human beings. The designated intelligence of this energy has the capability of bringing forth life forms in matter. Spirit energy is determined to enliven life. And their spirit energy in microbes, bacteria, human beings, all creatures, all life forms. Also, this spirit energy is in sand, water, stones, rocks. The Meyer information refers to the creation as a Wesenheiten. That means it only has a small, very small ability to determine its own evolution. Its evolutional pattern is predetermined. And this creational spirit energy, this universal intelligence, it's like a force of nature. It really has no personality. It's hard for us to wrap our mind around this because we just don't think this way. The spirit energy stays in the body, even after death, for about 4 hours, and eventually it's absorbed by nature. This is the way nature works. This spirit energy is very, very critical. Again, the spiritual consciousness is, there are these impulses that come from the spiritual consciousness, which is in your middle brain, your spiritual consciousness is. You have also something called material consciousness. That's where your personality comes from. What kind of mood you're in comes from the psyche. The consciousness is sometimes, it is really, there's multiple kinds of material consciousness in your brain. You have a unconscious mind. When people don't realize this, the unconscious mind, all processing of your brain begins with the unconscious mind. It's like the gateway into the brain. It's almost like a secretary or some kind of assistant to the brain. It processes things incredibly fast, almost like a computer, very quickly. And that's why if you put your hand on a stove and pull back, it's the unconscious mind that's doing that. Now, if something occurs that is very profound and the unconscious mind recognizes that, before passing it to your conscious mind, it will pass it to the subconscious. And the subconscious deals with processing things that are very profound and very deep, like the information that I was talking about earlier about creation and creation's love and the spirit energy and the spirit form of the human being. Your subconscious is being engaged by this, but it's engaged because the unconscious made a decision. See, you have unconscious thoughts that are going on. So again, what is the spirit form? In order to evolve, the creation creates human spirit forms. And this spirit form that you have, that I have, that we all have, in turn, it evolves independently through the material consciousness. Prior to entering a human being for the first time, the spirit form is absolutely a neutral energy agglomeration. It's in timeless existence. It is totally unknowing. The first time your spirit form incarnated into a human body, it had no wisdom, no intelligence associated to it. The creation will continue for 155.5 trillion years to create spirit form. Once the spirit form enters into the human being, its goal will be to collect wisdom, knowledge, and love. Remember I said your spirit form is just gathering information in many ways. It's also impulsing the material consciousness, because all the wisdom of your previous lives is stored in the spirit form. Some of that is also stored in the subconscious, and all of it in some form is also in the universal consciousness. The goal of the spirit form, again, is to collect wisdom, knowledge, love through countless reincarnations to eventually merge with creation. Now, here is a very profound phrase that I'm going to read to you. It's from a book called The Decalogue by Billy Meyer. I cannot tell you what everything means in this phrase, but again, it will engage your subconscious and your unconscious, which is important, and this is part of our evolution. The creation is the being and the non-being of life. It is the most immense mass of spiritual energy in the universe. It is spirit in its purest form and unmeasurable in its wisdom, in its knowledge, in its love, and its harmony and truth. The creation is something spiritually dynamic, a pure spirit intelligence energy, ungrasping for human beings, ungraspable. We'll study this for the rest of all of our physical lives. We will study the creation to learn it and to understand it. You may have not been exposed to this information before, but at some point, I believe every human being is exposed to this kind of information. Prevailing over all, the creation prevails over all, and at all times is active, creative, standing in unstoppable evolution, all gathered into itself, wisdom and love. So, the creation is evolving. It's the purpose of creation to evolve. It's your purpose and my purpose to evolve. So how does our spirit form evolve? Well, one of the things the spirit form does is it creates what's called the consciousness block, which is in the spirit realm, and the consciousness personality and the ego. So while your spirit form is in the spirit realm, in between physical lives, it uses this consciousness block, this area, to process your previous life information and to distill those bits of information down into their essences. And when it is done, with this job, it will create a new personality, a new spirit form, a new consciousness, subconsciousness, unconsciousness, personality. You'll have a completely new material consciousness. And then 21 days after the sperm fertilizes the egg, that spirit form will, boom, go into the body of the child. It goes into the superior colliculus, and it spreads its spiritual energy throughout every fiber of the body in what's called a fine filigree. When the spirit form enters the human being, now this is really strange, it remains within its own realm. So, again, this is something that we'll get a better understanding of later. But the spirit form, one thing that reminds me, this is really strange, one of the contact reports where Billy allegedly goes back in time and meets Emmanuel, that spirit form was in these two men at the same time. It was the same spirit form. I'll leave it at that and let your subconscious chew on that a while. It is of a purely spiritual, creational nature, and is not able to be humanly or materially influenced. It cannot be sick. It cannot have disease. This is your spirit form. So you have a personality and a material consciousness. It makes perceptions. We talked about the consciousness a little bit. Let's talk about the unconscious, the part of the psyche lying before the consciousness is the unconsciousness, and therefore not easily raised into the consciousness. The unconscious has a much faster rate of processing. The unconscious is like a clerical assistant coming before the conscious in the chain of this information processing. It autonomously takes in and sorts incoming impulses and perceptions. And if you need to process something before it's moved on to the conscious mind, then it will pass that on. In part, it will use the subconscious. So that means that the unconscious is making instantaneous perceptions. The unconscious, in an imperceptible way for the human being, connects with your deeper leveled subconscious to sort things out. So that's the amazing way the human mind works. That's just your material conscious. Remember, you have a spiritual consciousness, a spirit form. The gemut controls the thoughts and the feelings of the spiritual consciousness. The psyche controls the thoughts and the feelings of the material consciousness. But the spirit form processes and stores your experiences for all time. And this is how the spirit form grows in power and energy, becomes wiser and more knowing. So you live a material life, the spirit form all through this life is recording, absorbing all these experiences and ideas and concepts that you had. When it's time for you to die physically, the spirit form leaves the body and moves into the spirit realm. It brings with it your material consciousness, which then is processed in the overall consciousness block. And what are the functions of this overall consciousness block? The moment that the brain's activity ceases is the moment when the spirit form and the consciousness block, your conscious, go to the what you might call the unworldly spheres or the spirit realm. I've heard it called an energy band around our planet. And the consciousness block, then your consciousness goes into this overall consciousness block. The overall consciousness block dissolves your I, your ego, and processes all that which the conscious and its personality could not overcome or work out in the previous material life. So the spirit form will work out some problems that you had also in your previous life. And all of these memories and knowledge that you had, this is processed, all these are processed in the knowledge, love, and wisdom, and evolutive values are then released to the spirit form. So the spirit form absorbs these evoluted values. Your previous consciousness and personality are then dissolved, stored in their essences in the spirit form, and their power and energy are changed into a completely neutral form. Remember, the universe is neutral. It is a neutral energy. It's a neither good nor evil. It builds universes as a part of its own evolution. It's an impersonal spiritual energy that radiates love. Think of the sun radiating light. It doesn't do it as a personal thing for you, but it does it because of what it is. And that's much like what the spirit form is. So once these experiences, your personality and your consciousness are turned into a neutral state, the overall consciousness block creates and programs a new consciousness. This is all happening in the spirit realm when you're in between lives. A new I or ego is then formed, and this consciousness, this new material consciousness, is ready to incarnate into a material body. So you're given a new personality with every reincarnation, because this guarantees that you'll have knowledge and wisdom-based progress. Because through the new personality, you'll have new ideas, new opinions, new perceptions, new cognitions. So a personality is never repeated. So if you take the Universal Prophet, for example, Edward Albert Meyer, and you trace back his previous personalities. Remember Spoth, Billy's mentor for the first half of, or the first 11 years of his life. Spoth told Billy about his previous lives going back 13,000 years and told him that he was Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, and Muhammad. But even other personalities that are even well known, like Galileo and Mendelssohn and Mozart and Aristotle and Socrates, same spirit form, different personality, but it's the chain in the lineage of personalities that lead down to this man in Switzerland who is relatively unknown, who's written 40 books and 2,000 contact reports, and who really is the greatest source of wisdom on the planet, and is generally unknown in our time. But what he's written down will eventually bring in a new awareness across the entire earth. It will stop the disastrous trend that we have towards overpopulation, which is destroying the natural world. It will stop our insanity. It will slowly bring in a completely new time. So you are not just a single personality. I mean, you have previous lives. The spirit form is typically about 5 million years old. Try to wrap your mind around that. If you're a typical Earth human, you've reincarnated for 5 million years. You've had that many personalities and that many previous lives, and you'll have many, many more. We incarnate in the physical body for 40 to 60 million years through 5 stages of evolution. And then in the 6th stage, we're in a physical/spiritual state where our body is not completely solid. It's more like energy and like a spirit almost. And we're in that state for something like 40 million years. And then at the final stage of your evolution, you'll be a spirit form that doesn't need a body. And you'll evolve through these spiritual planes for almost 3 billion years, right around 3 billion years. And then you'll merge with creation and you'll be independently, your spirit form will be completely independently conscious and will no longer need the material consciousness. But in the meantime, your spirit form and your consciousness will continue this process of entering into a fetus of a human being, and your material consciousness has to grow up again. But you will continue to send impulses through your spirit form. And the evolutive values are comprised of, the evolutive values from your previous life are comprised of consciousness forms, which are all at various levels of development. So examples of consciousness forms include love, respect, patience, the honest. And the highest level of each of these consciousness forms is considered to be its essence. These essences are inputted into the subconscious. So the essence of your consciousness forms are inputted into the subconscious and are representative of your overall level of consciousness evolution. And there's something called the storage banks, which play in what we were talking about earlier when young Edward Albert Meyer went outside on a beautiful day in May and looked up a beautiful starry sky and was starting to get these signals, these impulses from the storage banks. Every planet has a storage bank. Every solar system has a storage bank. Every galaxy has a storage bank. And the universe has storage banks. Now, I want to shift gears for the last half of the show and talk about something very down to earth and very immediate in our future. In 2020, we could begin the collapse of the United States. According to what Billy was told when he was on his great trip in 1975, Billy went on a journey with Semyase around our solar system in her beam ship, and he was told many things during this trip. They went to Mercury, they went to Venus. There was some strange goings on Venus, which he couldn't really elaborate on. But I think Venus is in the beginning stages of forming life. They went back to the Earth and saw the link up between Apollo and Soyuz, the Russian capsule. Then they went to Jupiter, and Billy came aboard the gigantic mothership, which is like a silvery little planetoid out there in space. I say little, but it's as tall as Mount Everest and 10 miles in diameter, some unbelievable size like that. It has hundreds of thousands of people in it. It has a garden within it that is like a forest. And it has a fascinating technology that allows you to look up at the ceiling, and instead of seeing a ceiling, if you're on the bridge anyway, you'll see the stars in the universe. They have some way of making metal completely transparent or projecting the image of the surrounding stars onto their ceiling in their mothership. But in that great trip in 1975, probably Ptah, or, well, it could have been Semyase, told him that the United States could collapse. The economy, the crimes of our presidents, our gigantic mountain of national debt, more than $16 trillion, could lead to the collapse of the United States. That's something to keep in mind. We may be on borrowed time, according to Meyer information. Another thing that Billy saw on the great trip in the mothership in 1975, he was allowed to see the twin of our sun. We have a binary star system, but the twin, the binary star of our sun, is a dark star. And the dark star exists about a light year away from our sun, beyond what's called the Oort cloud. And the Oort cloud is an extended shell of icy objects that's beyond the last planets, beyond why Pluto is not officially a planet anymore, but beyond Pluto, beyond this is the Oort cloud. There's an inner and outer Oort cloud. It's between 50,000 and 200,000 astronomical units, and AU is the distance from the Earth to the Sun. So out there, beyond our Oort cloud, is this dark planet, this dark star, which is making changes that will influence our system. So again, our system is a binary system. We have a dark star that's our sister star. It's 10 times smaller than our sun. It has planets orbiting around it. Again, Billy's known about this since 1975. So the dark star out there is making these changes in the Oort cloud. Rock formations, ice and metal fragments are being hurled from the Oort cloud. And it's a very long chain of meteors that are starting to come into our solar system. Watch this. We've seen some meteors not long ago in Russia. I want to talk about the danger of the wrong kinds of fatty acids. We have what's called trans fats, which are created when we add hydrogen to liquid vegetable oil. And it's very harmful. It endangers our health. It endangers our life. It's a LDL cholesterol. It causes hardening of the arteries. And we consume too much of this in the fast food products, the biscuits, the pastries, French fries, various chips, burgers, popcorn, some kinds of cheese. Very, very dangerous. So, and you will be bloated. It's just like gluten in that sense. It can cause bloatation if you're suffering from bloat. Listen to what I just said again and try to take some of those things out of your diet. Let me talk about the blue-skinned people. I've been covering some of these topics on recent shows. The blue-skinned people. Billy saw some blue-skinned people when he was in India. There's an underground realm called Agharta. And near the city of Shigatse, which is located in near Tibet, it's called the gateway to Mount Everest. It's south of China. There is a group of blue-skinned people that live underground, and they're called the Sons of the Sun. They are very focused on world domination. Billy won't talk about this much. The Plarn will not talk about it much either. The blue-skinned people are related to the times of Atlantis and Lemuria, related to the city of Mu, which was in the Gobi Desert. And below the city of Mu was Agartha Alpha and Agartha Beta that were connected by tunnel systems. And part of the people that lived below there were these blue skinned people. So there's a very interesting story related to Agharta and in the place where we call the Gobi Desert now, there was a city of Mu. It was built hundreds of thousands of years ago, but destroyed about 12,000 years ago in a great conflict between Atlantis and Lemuria. This was the very, very high civilization that existed on the Earth before the catastrophe 12,000 years ago. They built structures, very big structures, mostly in stone. The Great Pyramid is 73,000 years old, but there are pyramid structures that were built at two different times, one about 70,000 years ago, the other about 35,000 years ago. These people had very high technologies, but still imbalanced in their evolution. They quite nearly destroyed the Earth. There are spirit forms that have reincarnated on the Earth that have lived lives as extraterrestrial humans on the Earth. I mean, that's exactly what happened. And they have older spirit forms. They may be up to 12 million years old, and they're spirit forms. So there's a certain level of people that are on the Earth now, and there are millions of them, by the way, that have a evolution advantage. Now, in contrast to an evolution advantage, there are establishments on the Earth that have dedicated themselves to interfering with the evolution of Earth humans. And they can be traced back to a negative group of extraterrestrials that were on the Earth. They became extremely active after the fall of Atlantis and Lemuria. Probably the first official member of the Giza intelligences, his name was Erisane. And he started inhabited the old cubicle constructions that are some 73,000 years old that exist far below the Great Pyramid. And the Giza intelligences have influenced the secret societies on Earth, particularly the Germans. The Thule Society, their emissary was an individual whose real name was Hermann Steinschneider, who was known as Erik Janssen, who had tremendous influence on Hitler. Hitler also had contact with the Holy See. The Holy See is the ecclesiastical jurisdiction of the Catholic Church. Billy talks about a consciousness conditioned tyranny on the Earth that can be traced back to Rome and the Vatican. Well, the Nazi regime also interacted with what's called the Holy See, and they cooperated with Hitler. There were two popes that were involved with the Nazis, Pope Pius the 11th and the 12th. They held office between about 1922 to 1958. They caused immense damage to the Jews through their machinations. Now, that's not to say they're isn't a great negativity in Zionists. The Zionists are very, they're behind most or many of the troubles of this earth. I'll just say that and move on. Billy Meyer says, for example, that there were definitely Jews and other criminals murdered during the times of the Nazis. We have this interesting back and forth between two different camps there. But I do believe there is great negativity on the earth because of Zionism. The Holy See also removed the Book of Enoch from the Bible. The Holy See in Rome is also connected to the Inquisition, and which committed all kinds of murders. Again, I want to talk about a planet called Akart, which is talked about. Billy also learned about on his great journey in 1975. It's an Earth-sized planet that it's one of the worlds of Proxima Centauri. You have to realize, though, that the Meyer material is usually talking about planets in a different space-time configuration, because our solar system, our universe has seven dimensions. And these dimensions, I think of them as variations on our own, the universe that you and I inhabit and see is one of these seven space-time configurations, one of these seven dimensions. And the Pleiaren happen to reside in a different dimension than we do. They have the ability to move back and forth between these dimensions. Now, these dimensions, they have planets and stars and solar systems and galaxies. There's nothing strange or bizarre about them in that sense, except that in the Pleiaren's space-time configuration, the worlds that have human life on them are much closer together. I'll just throw out a number. Who knows? A half a light year from each other, or even closer. I mean, at one time, our solar system had three planets that were evolved with people. Now, the greatest problem on the Earth is overpopulation. Akart was a planet that was destroyed by overpopulation. When the population gets to a certain level, a certain number, it starts to grow exponentially. And exponential growth is catastrophic, and it's almost impossible to stop when you get to a certain level, because populations will start to double and double again and double again in a very short period of time. We are on that path, and it is a disaster of proportions that we cannot comprehend. Anyway, eventually the population of Akart increased to 39 billion people. It completely destroyed their climate and collapsed their atmosphere. The Pleiaren could only get 116 million off of this world to resettle them on other worlds. So, keeping your population under control and at a certain level is one of the creational natural laws. One of the universal laws. Anyway, I have talked a lot this evening, not what I originally planned to talk about, but I guess we have to be flexible. In any case, I hope you've enjoyed the program. You've been listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. Have a good day. Good evening.